Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the circus. Cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who wakes up every morning Feeling like P. Diddy. It's Eric
Darn
Wayne.
Right.
Eric, how are you this evening?
I feel like P. Diddy. I'm doing great, man.
And any happenings for you this weekend?
So I posted a couple of pictures, but I was at the Kesha concert on Friday night. And before you say it, you know, you might say, Eric, you know, that's stupid, super lame to go to a Kesha concert. Here's the thing. I don't care. It was fun.
I got to know, how did this come about? Because
my brother, my little brother, he's 10 years younger than me, which makes it a little more reasonable. He just loves like campy, cheesy pop music. He saw Katy Perry. He's gone to see, you know, all these acts. And he's like, Kesha's coming to town. Do you want to go? And so my wife and I, yeah, we'll go with you. So we got good seats. We're in the third row. So it was mostly for my brother, but it was fun.
So you were all up in Kesha's business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the best part was when she turns around and takes her, like, chaps off. And she's like, now it's time for me to take my ass out. This is my natural habitat. I'm like, okay, thanks, Kesha. But, like, she's... is just self-aware enough to make it work at a funny level, but also like serious enough for like her fans or whatever. It was really fun.
I was kind of assuming that this was like your daughter was super into her or something.
No, not quite yet. Thank goodness.
So I'm curious, what are the demographics on a Kesha concert?
Okay. So it was, 75% female, I would say. And the males that were there were, how do I put this delicately? They weren't concerned about showing a macho or masculine, vibe. How is that fair?
They were
comfortable with the situation. There was a lot of glitter in beards and chest hair and just, yeah, it was, yeah, they were comfortable with themselves. That was great. I'm not giving anybody a hard time, but I felt like a burly macho man,
which is, I mean, you absolutely are. So did you go in with any familiarity with her music? I actually was gonna I was gonna pepper this show with Kesha references, and then I realized I don't actually know any Kesha references. So that would have taken research.
No, I know. I mean, they play her on the radio all the time, right?
Yeah.
So I could list a half dozen Kesha songs and you would know them.
Okay. And overall, outcome, would you go back to see her again? Where does she rank on your all-time concerts have attended list?
I don't know if I would go back to the same show. I would spend money to go like do something else, but I do not regret having gone this time.
Speaking of other concerts that you would go to see, this brings us to this week's leadoff question. What would be your ideal concert?
Oh, man. So I thought about this a little bit, but one album that I listen to all the time is Daft Punk's Alive album. It's a live recording of a show that they did, and I've listened to that 100 times. And just because you it's a live album, so you hear the people like cheering in the background and kind of responding to what they're doing. I think that would be pretty high up for me. I'm kind of an EDM nerd, so Daft Punk or maybe Justice, something like that would be up my alley. They have the this is way out of my supposed demographic, but they have the Ultra Music Festival in Miami, and I always like check out some of the video for that. It's just like a crazy EDM party. So
I have to admit, I never would have guessed that. And also, I've never heard of Justice. I have no idea who that is.
No, I shouldn't confess this to people, real people.
It's okay. It's just me and you talking. No, nobody else listens.
This is my safe area. It's good.
So I think I'm on record on the show and everywhere else saying that I don't actually really care all that much for music. Like, on the whole, I'm always going to pick a podcast over music, and that's not at all because we podcast. It's more just, like, I like to learn things and hear people talk as opposed to music. But there's a few acts that I like. Like, we saw Matt Kearney down in Indy. I've seen Switchfoot kind of before they were famous.
Switchfoot's good.
There are a precious few acts that I would actually pay money to see. The problem is like, with a concert, you're forced into a room with, like, a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And it's loud.
That's half the show, Jordan. Watching the other people and looking around is a lot of it.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Joy of live music.
Exactly. But if I'm so in this scenario, I'm obviously constructing this show. I would have Taylor Swift open and play nothing off of the latest album, just 1989 and before, and she would of course be opening for JT, Justin Timberlake. Which of course would feature an NSYNC reunion for Bye Bye Bye. I mean, that's pretty much the dream show for anyone my age. I mean,
you're so basic.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho 4, podcastianos@gmail.com. And we have an email to read out today, so don't let me forget that.
Yes.
And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you listen to the show on. If you do, make it funny, make us laugh. That's how we rocket up the iTunes charts and how we pay for our Spotify subscriptions and all the other luxuries that the show affords us. And anyway, if you do, take a screenshot of it, tweet it at us, and we'll read it out and we'll have a good laugh and we can all be best buddies.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So it's been another Tiger Z week for the fellas. We put up 7 on Cole Hamels and then got absolutely handed to us by Austin Bivens-Dirks and a shortstop playing catcher. So I feel like on this show, I've discussed that when I pitched, my profile was that of Blaine Hardy. Yep. Watching Austin Bivens-Dirks today, I was a left-handed him. Like that was my skill set. Not throwing hard, not throwing with a lot of movement, just hitting spots and being wildly under-impressive. But at least I did it from the left side.
Yeah, I heard his stuff was super soft and just seemed to baffle the hitters.
Yes, that's exactly what it looked like.
Was it like when Bruce Chen used to face us and we'd shake in our boots every time we'd see Bruce Chen?
Yes, because that is exactly what it was, just from the right side. Like that is an excellent comparison. So after getting ourselves to within one game of 500 on June 17th, we are now 40-52. And get this, we sit just 3 games out from a top 4 pick going into the week before the All-Star game, right where we want to be.
We are plummeting fast.
Yeah. Bit of an odd first half. How has your watch rate been? Has it gone down at all?
It has. I confess, like today, it was a nice day out and I got a call. Want to go disc golf? Yeah. You know, I had to do this podcast and I owe it to the people to be informed about the Tigers. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Do I have a social responsibility?
Sure.
So I looked at my Twitter feed for several minutes and I figured that was the education that I need. But I played disc golf today. It was great. I was par. So that was fine. I think we have a Twitter question about this, but the World Cup has been on.
Yes.
And there's been a surprising amount of overlap. And I feel like the World Cup comes around once every 4 years. And the Tigers play every day all summer long. Now, I'm going to miss it in the winter. I'm going to miss not having Tigers games on that I can watch. But now it's summer and the sunshine is out and there's World Cup games on. I don't feel particularly guilty about not taking in a game every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I've still watched it. Pretty much all of them. But whenever there's been, you know, I'm either watching the Tigers or the World Cup, like we're following it like at work or whatever. I'm, you know, like you say, it comes around every 4 years. I'm all in on the World Cup.
Yeah. But I never ignore the Tigers. I'm constantly reading about them. I'm interested in them. I'm a nerd. I am a consumer of Tigers. But I don't feel particularly guilty letting up a little bit.
Yeah. So we have two negative stories and two positive stories this week. How would you like to jump into this?
Let's go negative first so we can end on a happy smile.
All right. Some big roster news this week as one of our favorites, a guy that we've been behind, Dixon Machado, was designated for assignment. Fortunately, he cleared waivers, much like my boy Drew Verhagen. He's back down to Toledo. But a pretty staggering fall from a guy who was near the top of the AL doubles chart. Granted, that was the middle of April.
It was early. Yeah, he was right out of the gate. Remember, we said, oh, yeah, we trust him far more at the plate. I said this far more at the plate than Iglesias. And he was doing all these amazing things and hitting for some power doubles. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure I referred to him as a a building block.
Yeah,
that was incorrect.
And now he got DFA'd. Do you know what I found fascinating? Dixon Machado has been, and Evan Woodbury wrote this, Dixon Machado has been with the club for almost a decade.
That is nuts.
Because he's 26, and these guys can sign when they're 16 out of Latin America. And it's just crazy to think that this guy's been a stalwart, and you risk losing him by DFAing him. But the Tigers must have felt fairly certain that they would be able to retain him.
Yeah.
Even if not, I mean, his performance was nothing more than a replacement level.
Yes. And I was actually looking at some on Baseball References. So Baseball Reference, so their version of WAR. He is one of, I think Victor is at the bottom, obviously. And I want to say he's
really,
there's somebody in the middle and then it's him just in terms of season long wins above replacement. Like he came out of the gates really hot. But it's hard to not at this point, not just attribute that to, you know, getting off to a hot start. Like he hasn't really shown much in the way of flashes since at least May started. Like when they said that, or when, you know, I got the notification, from Twitter that he was down, I'm like, yeah. I mean, even if he goes claimed, I'm like, I guess that's kind
of I was initially stunned, but then when the reality of it washed over me, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so, I suppose. I mean, it tugs at your heartstrings a little bit because we kept him on the roster all year last year, not to lose him. And it made me think of Victor Reyes this year, but it's a little different situation, I suppose. But yeah, I'm glad he's still with the organization. I guess some of the technicalities of his contract and so forth, if he wanted to be ensure that he would get paid, like it was in his interest to stay with the club and not to declare free agency, which I guess he could do too. So I guess there's some complications there, and it's a little too in the weeds, but I guess it was in his interest to stay with the club too, if he wasn't claimed. So
his DFA kind of brings us to an interesting question. Like, what is the future of, you know, the Keystone? What's going on up the middle? Iggy obviously is an impending free agent.
Yeah.
There could be some trade movement there. Hard to tell. Nico is obviously balling out right now, but he was a waiver claim. And aside from Dixon,
Dowell Lugo is appearing in the Futures game over All-Star Weekend.
Which is,
but you know, is Isaac Paredes ready?
There's no way that he's going to be ready for next year. The other three on that have middle infield experience on the 40 man. Are obviously Lugo, Ronnie Rodriguez, and Sergio Alcantara, who I believe is at AA, and he clearly won't be ready for next year. Like,
but things look pretty sparse when you consider the possibility of losing Iglesias. Like, everybody kind of dogged on Iglesias, but like, he's hitting. He plays obviously exemplary defense. He would be a huge loss for this club.
And I don't see them bringing him back. At least
I don't think you can.
Not unless he comes back for you know the veteran minimum or whatever like that. Like
okay, so if he's valuable, is he get traded? Since he's been hitting now, does he have value over and above his contract?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it's not a huge contract. So
it's kind of the perfect storm. Like we can't trade him, but he's too expensive to retain. Like, I guess.
I mean, if we can get a Victor Alcantara for him, you know, kind of like the Cameron Maben deal, or you know, when we when he traded Holiday to get Miles J. Like, if you can get somebody you can put in your system, the Kinsler deal, I guess you have to do that at the deadline. But man, I don't see anybody, you know, breaking down our door to try and get Iggy. And that leaves Nico as the only middle infielder on the roster going into next year. Obviously, you know, Pete Cosma's still there, you know, organizational building block.
You can find somebody to man that spot. But, I mean, what is Iglesias? Like a 1.5 war player, 2 war player?
At the very most.
I mean, those guys don't fall off trees. And, I mean, he's making, what, $4.5 million or something like that this year? So yeah, I'm curious to see what kind of contract he signs, regardless of whether it's us or the next club. I mean, it's going to be some significant money.
You would think. Do you think Tigers fans would be happy welcoming him back? I feel like, I don't know. We started so hot on him, and we faded just collectively on him so much. I don't even see, like, if they re-sign him, that being super welcomed. Not that it matters, but...
No, I especially if it's kind of for more... And it's always for more money than fans think, because fans think you can get people cheap. Mm-hmm. But no, I think fans are probably have fatigued with him a bit.
What do you think the chances are that we open up with Ronnie Rodriguez at shortstop and Nico at second base opening day next year?
Zero.
Zero.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. 0.1% chance.
I think it's 25% chance. I think there's a halfway decent chance that is the case. I mean, okay. Ronnie Rod is he's on the 40, man. Like, you know, clearly that's a guy that the organization is interested in seeing. I mean, we'll certainly find out what he's got here coming up.
Yep, we will. Okay, a lot of games left this year,
for better or worse. And I wanted to make one more point. You know, whether you liked the move about Dixon or not, some of the other moves, the Tigers have been fairly decisive in moving. Like we gave Dixon a half a season to show that he can be the everyday second baseman. He, for the most part, didn't show flashes. It's time to see, you know, if somebody else can be. I think that is something that we've struggled with over the years, and I give it to Alavila that he made the call. All right,
and they've designated in the right spots. Remember Laborte? We got rid of him, and everybody was weeping and gnashing their teeth. No, it was fine.
Yes,
you rarely regret these things.
Yeah, just I mean Chad Bell, he's come back to haunt us. But other than that, everyone has it's been fine. So let's move on to Matt Boyd. He has not been very good. He's raised his ERA every start since June 2nd. There's been no discernible variation in his strikeout or his walk rate. Right. He just hasn't been very good. His ERA on May 28th was 3.00, and today it's 4.58. Well, like,
didn't we kind of predict this, though?
A little bit.
Didn't we kind of call this, like... If there was a candidate for some regression, it was Matt Boyd. In fact, we talked about, oh, do you trade Fulmer? Do you trade Boyd? And I was like, no, you don't trade Fulmer. And yeah, you should trade Boyd like yesterday. Well, we didn't trade him soon enough. Like his home is in Seattle, I guess, or the Pacific Northwest, I guess.
Are you suggesting that DePoto comes in and snags him? We send him out
there to There was some rumblings about that even. And, you know, I think it just might be too late. I don't know if they'd be interested in him anymore. Now, he's got some good value, even to us. You shouldn't trade him for nothing. He's still an innings eater.
Yeah, he's a rotation filler. He just looked like he could be possibly more than that at various points earlier this year.
Sure.
I think to a large extent, this kind of just is who he is. Like, if you can find somebody that'll pay you for a Jared Washburn type, and you know what we paid for with Seattle way back in the day, somebody is willing to give you that, then yeah, sure. But like you say, there is something valuable about having a guy who you can pretty well bank on to give you 200 innings of being pretty pretty decent. Like, could certainly be worse. Sure. But yeah, this has been a terrible time. I was actually just thinking about that. Like, ideally, he would have kept this rate up for at least another three or four starts before he starts to fall apart. He didn't do us a ton of favors. And I guess with all the arms coming up, it does make him a little bit more expendable if someone is still willing to come in. But yeah, not ideal.
Right.
All right. Let's get happy. There has been some things that have been really happy, specifically with some of our veteran starting pitchers. Jordan Zimmermann has now turned in six straight really good starts, and his last outing against Texas was honestly better than I ever thought we would see him pitch again. 11 strikeouts over eight innings against the Rangers. How much more do you need to see before you're starting to buy back in on him? His ERA is like 3.5. I never thought we'd see that again.
It seems like every time we throw him under the bus. Remember earlier this year, I was just trashing on him, and then his next outing, he was awesome. It feels like he just keeps coming back. And I wonder if that's not – if that up and down kind of thing is just part of aging. Like, you have flashes of brilliance, but it's the frequency just because of how your body responds. I mean, I still think he's on the downward path of his bell curve for sure, but you still get these flashes of really good. And I hope there's more of them because he's under contract for a while, that big money. But I'm not completely buying into like, oh, we're getting the Jordan Zimmermann that we had the first eight games when we signed him.
That's the thing.
I mean, we're not getting that.
You don't need that Jordan Zimmermann. You just need somewhere between that Jordan Zimmermann and last year's Jordan Zimmermann. Like, if you're somewhere in the middle, he's at least giving you some return on your investment. I mean, he was among the worst pitchers in baseball last year. I'm not saying that I'm back in on him, but it does make me think that maybe the body is starting to recover a little bit, just starting to settle into more of a groove physically. I mean, he's had a lot of crap go wrong with him over the last two or three years. Yeah. Like, just to get back into a place where he's more, you know, physically stable is obviously a good thing.
Was it, his neck? Didn't we talk at the beginning of the year, like, he got an injection that was supposed to last him to the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, he's actually due for another injection now. He might get even better. But one of the followers, Adam, brought up a stunning parallel to the life of one Jordan Swimmerman. For many of you who don't go this far back,
this is the archives.
I had a fish the first year that we did the show, and it was the first year we had signed Jordan Zimmermann. And at one point, we thought he was dead, Jordan Swimmerman speaking of. And then like 3 days later, he just like started flapping his fin and just continued living for another, I don't know, I mean, it's probably another couple weeks, a month, something like that, before he eventually kicked the can for good. Like, we kind of thought Jordan Zimmermann was, in a baseball sense, dead. And there's been a little bit of fin resurrection. Fodder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big comparison when you compare it to a fish who has returned from the dead. But
it's a lot to live up to. But, living up to your aquatic counterpart is something noble.
I mean, they both have two N's in the last name, so.
Swimmerman.
Yeah, of course.
Gotcha.
Also, old guy pitching well. Mike Fiers. I don't know that I just saw this coming. He obviously is a very streaky pitcher. Like, he's made a career off of being good and then not so good and then really good and then not so good. Three straight quality starts. Going back to the end of May, he's given up three earned or less in all but one of his starts. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like you poo-pooed him a lot. Are you starting to come around?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I threw him under the bus. Yeah, Fiers has been good. And with the departure of Bazio, some of these pitchers are getting to work a little longer in the game. You know, there was a lot of phobia, and I think some of it rightly so, about letting pitchers work the third time through the lineup. But you're seeing guys, our pitchers, work a little longer. Between Fiers and Zimmermann, you know, the early Boyd, and some of the stuff that Fulmer's done, starting pitching has not been this club's and problem.
Truly, Liriano, at least to start with, he's been halfway decent too. Yeah, absolutely.
Starting pitcher is not this club's problem. I should look up some statistics if I had to use a personal computer to do so. I bet our starting pitcher is close to league average, baseball average. Yeah, I would say
so. The team's problem is that our cleanup hitter right now is John Hicks. I mean, that's the team's problem.
We have no hitters, and we have zero power.
Nico hit third today. Like, that tells you everything you need to know. And I love Nico. Like,
beginning of the year, Nico Goodrum is going to, one, make the team, and before the All-Star break, he's going to be the third hitter. You would have said, oh my gosh, we're going to lose a zillion games. And you'd only be partially wrong.
I was on Nico early. And to be fair, once Nico got in the lineup, it was early on in the year. I want to even say maybe the second series of the year, he was hitting like fourth or fifth. Like, they instantly put him kind of in that run producing spot. But yeah, I did not see a third.
Well, where else do you go to find some power?
Dude, I said this before. Dude's been balling out. Like, I like Nico. And, you know, I feel like Lynn has been all over this recently on Twitter. Like, he's not some diamond in the rough. He was a second rounder. Like, he was up at the big leagues last year. Gardenhire is familiar with
him. Yeah. You know who has that same narrative? Mikey Matuck.
Yeah.
And look what happened to him.
Yeah,
Narrative. He's a first round pick, and it's not his first rodeo, but he's kind of been poor.
But here's the thing with Nico that makes him just a little bit different. The bat speed with Nico is really, really good. Like, you can just see it with your eyes. Like, there is a little bit of...
That's a good thing to see it with.
I was more meaning it doesn't take replays or whatever. Oh, just watching him play, you can see it.
See it with your feelings.
I do think that's how we should all experience baseball. It's just only with our feelings.
See it with your feelings, yeah.
Anyway, I like Nico. All right, let's move on. Last topic, and that is Joe Jimenez. He's our all-star.
All-star Joe Jimenez. Yeah. Hook slide. He's got his chest puffed out. He was the chief Jimenez defender last year.
He was. He deserves all the crow that he's making people eat this year. Is this good for him? Speaking of, for Joe?
I don't know. It's good for him because being an all-star is a fun accolade. It's a good experience. You go to the game, you rub elbows. I mean, nobody can ever take this away from him, that he was a Major League Baseball all-star. Whatever happens in the rest of his life, he'll always have this. I hope there's much more and bigger career, and he's an ace for years. He's a relief ace or closer for years to come, but I think it's cool. Now, is it going to make him a better pitcher? I doubt it.
I was a little surprised. I feel like Nick has obviously had the better season. And the game, like, when the game was supposed to mean something and it was all about, you know, getting that World Series home field advantage, it makes more sense to have a guy that can get you out of a jam like Joe. It's not the case anymore. I was definitely surprised. And I'm sure Nick was probably surprised.
But let's be real. If it wasn't for this rule, we'd have zero all-stars.
True. And Nick is going to get the call at some point anyway, because nobody wants to play.
I think so. Like, right. Everybody's, I have a bunion or whatever, and they don't want
to
go.
So where I wanted to go with this thing, Nick clearly has been overlooked, at least by AJ Hinch. Like, does his stock in terms of Major League perception bode well for us re-signing him?
You know, I you would have, if you're going to make that argument, you'd have to say somehow all-star voting or all-star inclusion by the manager is highly correlated to value for the club. And I don't think that's true. I think the two are fairly independent.
Okay.
I mean, yes, both are markers of excellent play, but I don't think they're so strongly linked.
All right, that's fair. I think there could be a link between, by and large, baseball sleeping on him and us being able to sign him, maybe a little bit cheaper. Clearly it's bad for trading him, though I think you and I are in agreement at this point that we would rather see them re-sign him.
But fans and Hinch might be blind to what Nick can do a little bit or not see it. But MLB GMs don't miss much.
No, they're not missing Nick's skills. Yep.
Now, there might be legitimate reasons why he doesn't get a big paycheck or he's undervalued. Most of all, his glove. But I don't think it's because of lack of perception from smart people.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to your beef of the week here in a second. But in looking at the Baseball Ref's wins above replacement, I came up with, or I saw an odd quirk. Sandy Baez's season WAR, as you may remember, after one relief appearance, is higher than Shane Green's for the year.
Oh, really? Oh, poor Shane.
Poor Shane.
All that work, and he's bested by Sandy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's move on to you ranting about something.
All right. My beef of this week is this. Have you ever bought like a board game, especially like the children's games? I'm just talking about, you know, games, and they come in this box. And the first time you open it, you're trying to pick the little pieces out and you got to punch little cards out of a cardboard, you know, casing or whatever. And so you play the game. And now what? You got to put it back. You can't put the game back in the box, in the packaging, in any reasonable way.
Yes, you can. It's just, you absolutely can.
No, it's just like it never fits the right way. The lid doesn't go all the way on. The people designing this packaging have to do a lot better. And just having a reasonable package to take a game in and out without it just being a mess and falling apart.
I'm not having that. I think you need to pay more attention when you're pulling the game out to see how things fit in there. I think this is on you. And also, just be organized. Like, just take care. Just put the things in. Put.
Everything's cheap and made in China, and, like, it falls apart. Like, if you don't get the little plastic slot or whatever just right. No, it never goes in back a good way. It's stupid. And, you know, the corners of the box, they're always tearing apart. You can't keep it nice. Game packaging, especially for children's game, is stupid.
Have you ever considered maybe you're just too rough on things? Maybe you should have gentler hands. Have soft hands. That's what this game's all about.
I do have kind of crusher hands. I'm good at opening jars.
That is a equally useful skill. They just don't tend to go together.
Yeah. I'm not very graceful. It's true.
Okay, so what would you rather have, grace or brute strength?
Brute strength.
Because that's what you have.
That's right. Show it to those guys at the Kesha concert. Oh, man.
That's right. All right, let's move on to crap that I saw on the side of the road while running. Short one today, and then I have a name that tiger. But today when I was running, it was, first of all, it's hot as balls, but it was, I ran about 8.5 miles, and through that process, I saw two Teslas, which are, you know, are the fancy, like, electric or whatever cars.
Traverse City is the Ann Arbor of the North.
We really are, and obviously our population has swelled up 17 times what it normally is. I'm like, I run on back roads. I mean, I'm not running through downtown Traverse City, but yeah, two Teslas. All right, let's move on.
Traverse City's like you, feeling swole.
That's right. Something like that. All right, let's move on to a game that I created for you. It is Name That Tiger. All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, first clue. I was born June 19th, 1982 in Sonora, California.
I know this already.
You've got to be kidding me. You are
born in I know this.
All right, who is it?
It's Phil Koch.
It is Phil Koch. How do you know that? Why do you know that?
Well, he's born in 82, so he's just a little younger than me, which I knew. And he's from Sonora, California. Everybody knows where Phil is from.
No, they don't.
I do. Hey, I pretended to be the dude on the internet for like 3 years,
That is fair, okay. That, I was going to say, I couldn't name a single place that a tiger was born. Even Blaine. I love Blaine. I have no idea where he was born. All right. Okay, so here are the rest of the clues. I played for 5 teams, debuting in 2008, and made my Tigers debut in 2010. I like Nickelback. That's where I thought you were going to be able to jump in. I inexplicably jumped into the rotation after a career in the bullpen leading to mixed results, and many saying that that move ruined my career.
That was a poor choice. I agree.
Definitely a poor choice. I'm known for pointing at fly balls. My dad is keen to chat up Eric online.
I haven't heard from Doug in a while.
And some jagweed reached a minor level of internet fame imitating me on Twitter, leading to us meeting in an awkward rendezvous set up by Chris Hyatt.
Yeah, I would have gotten it then, I think.
You think? Oh, okay. That's good.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Poor Phil.
All right, let's move on to Twitter questions and emails. I have an email. Let me pull this up real quick. If you want to get in touch with the show via email, it's podcastianos@gmail.com. All right. This one comes in from Damon, and he is from across the pond. He's from Cambridge. So I'm assuming he's smart.
I've been to Cambridge.
Have
it's a cool city.
Did you study at Cambridge?
No, but... we went out to some bar one night and tried to pick up English chicks, but
how did that go?
I wasn't trying very hard.
What's your move? What do you go up to an English chick and say?
Just, you know, say, hey, I'm from America. That works every time.
Does that work?
This was a long time ago, Hall. Okay. I don't want to incriminate myself.
It's probably good. All right. Here's what Damon says. Hey, Jordan and Eric. I've been listening to the show now for a couple seasons. Just wanted to say it's one of the best sports podcasts out there. Great topical variety and a lot of fun. Well, thank you. Loving this the Tigers this year. No expectations. Just surprised that there were several teams in a worse position at the moment. Now, the soccer season is almost over. Oh, this was from a while back. How do you see 2018-19 panning out for Man United and Newcastle? I'll let you go first because you guys obviously will not do quite as well.
That's harsh. So we finished actually mid-table. I think we were 11th, 10th, no, 10th. So I would hope for a mid-table finish again or a little bit better. It all depends on who we can bring in. So they're looking at moving out Richie would be a loss. But otherwise, the guys that they're moving out, Chancellor Mbemba and Matt Sells and stuff, those guys are kind of expendable. We did sign the goalie Savak, I forget his name. Anyway, he's good.
Is that the dude you had for the end of last year?
Yeah.
I remember him turning in an incredible performance against United. Yeah.
Martin, the Slovenian, I forget his last name, but he's awesome. We need a couple pieces in. And the thing about Newcastle is they have not broke their transfer record since like the early 90s. And we're due to bring in a good name, and there's a lot of ownership struggles and stuff. So given that, I'd be happy with another mid-table finish. Let's be real.
As far as United, you got Big John. That's all you need.
John.
As far as United go, realistically, and you would never, I was going to say, you'd never catch me say this out loud. I'm literally saying this out loud to all of the people that listen to my show. I don't see us finishing any higher than third. City have already gotten better. Liverpool have already gotten better.
So good.
I mean, we're going to need to bring in some pretty heavy pieces if we're going to compete with either of them. Like, they're just flat out better teams than we are. But I will tell you this, the way Big Rom has been playing in the World Cup, I would be shocked if he doesn't win the Golden Boot in the Premier League next year. Dude is on fire. I remember when there was who should we get, him or Alvaro Morata? Very
this
glad.
Is Lukaku you're talking
very
about?
Glad we ended with Lukaku. He's good. I would love it if they brought in Gareth Bale. I think that would be the kind of move that would fire us a little bit further. I don't know. I don't know that, you know, clearly we want to spend big money. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do that wisely.
But just saying these names, it illustrates that your club and mine are in different layers altogether.
We definitely
are. They're different worlds. Completely and different.
I picked United to be the team that I support before I knew anything about soccer. Like, anything. I knew the Wayne Rooney bicycle kick. Like, that was it. And I don't know. Like, I love rooting for United. I wouldn't trade him for the world. But if I, knowing what I do now, I'm not sure that that would be the team I would pick. I usually would go for somebody a little bit more like Newcastle, somebody a little less front-runner-y. I had no idea that they were who they were. But
so do you want Belgium now then, or do you want England? Who's your World Cup team?
It sounds terrible, but I'm good with any of them. Like, I love all four the way they play. Obviously, yeah. England have Jesse Lingard, who's probably my favorite player. France have Pogba. Belgium have Lukaku. Like, I'm good. Yep. And Fellaini.
Obviously. I kind of want to see England do it now.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
All right. Let's get into some Twitter questions now. Are you ready? Steve asks, which Tiger, present or past, do you think has the most whimsical name? His vote is Jim Whale Wander.
Most whimsical name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mickey Tettleton?
Ooh.
I don't know. That's pretty whimsical.
I think Bobby Higginson is a pretty whimsical name.
I'm sure that we're missing like a lot of good ones. Nook. Nook is a whimsical.
I mean, Al Albuquerque is a pretty whimsical name.
For sure.
I mean, you obviously always have Ulrich Boyarski.
Yeah. Didn't we have Rusty Kuntz for a while? Or no? He just always played with the Royals.
I don't know. He's old. You're old. You should know this.
Oh, shut it. I'm sure there's a million other whimsical names that we're forgetting that are all good.
But that's a good question. At some other Sean, not the Sean you're thinking of. It's some other Sean.
It's the other Sean, yeah.
If the Tigers players could only use Kesha songs as walk-up songs, which song would each player use and why? This is obviously your department, so I'll defer here.
I tried my hand at this. I don't know how I did. Dinosaur would be Victor Martinez for sure.
That's fair.
Your Love Is My Drug. Jacoby Jones.
That's
too soon.
It's clever, but that's a dig.
We Are Who We Are would be Artie Lewicki and Sawpold, just because they are who they are.
Victor Reyes.
Let's see. Die Young would probably be Delman. I would imagine.
I thought that was going to go Delman, a really Delman. Dark way, and I'm glad you took it a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, I'm not here to hurt anybody. Take It Off would be for the grounds crew.
Oh, I thought you would go with Daniel Norris there.
Daniel, right?
As in Woo. Take It Off. Yeah.
I don't know. I had a stretch for the rest of it. Learn to Let Go would be Eugenio Suarez. Maybe we need to learn to let him go.
That's good. I like that.
TikTok would be for the pitch clock operator. Ooh, I don't know.
That's okay.
These aren't walk-up songs.
I don't know that the pitch clock operator gets a walk-up song every week.
Yeah. And then Blow would be Lance Stephenson. He's an NBA player.
Yes, I'm familiar with this. that's pretty good, too.
We had a reach for that one, but that's what I got for you.
All right. That's good. Those turned out better than I was expecting. All right. Ed Miller, at EdMiller19, asks, if they don't get traded next year, do you sign Iggy and Martin again?
Oh, we kind of talked about this. Iggy, I don't know if they can afford him. Martin, I think it's traded.
Yeah, I would assume so. He's had the injury issues, but when he's played, he's been good.
Right. Even if he does get traded, regardless if he gets traded, maybe you sign him again. I don't know. His stock, he's going to be a lot more expensive next year. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We got him cheap this year.
Yeah. I guess it depends on your commitment to Jacoby Jones, how much he shows down the stretch, what Kristen Stewart shows when he comes up. I mean, there might be a need for just bodies in the outfield. Yeah, Gerbs. Why we haven't seen him in at least a little bit of run at this point, I have no idea. I guess Ronnie Rad could play out there. Him and Nico.
I feel like this next, there's a gap between the next wave of prospects, the Bo Burrows, the Matt Mannings, the Fiatos, like Daz Cameron, Paredes. I put in that kind of wave of prospects. Between those guys and what we have now, there's kind of a gap. Yes. Is there not? They're like, we don't have ready-to-go prospects. There's not a lot of choices. Derek Hall did not pan out. He would have been about that age where if he was ready to, but he's not ready.
No. I know he's you're a big fan. Ben Decker asks us, will Joe Jimenez end up being the only Tigers All-Star? Also, what are the chances Castellanos ends up going as a reserve? Kind of touched on
I think
this.
He probably goes.
Yeah. And truly, he's worthy. Like, he's been a very, very good player this year. Yeah. Would I cry if he doesn't make it there? No, but.
Right.
Jeremy Troya asks us, favorite All-Star event? Mine is the celebrity softball game. Reminds me of the old MTV Rock and Jock softball games, which I'm assuming you're old enough to remember.
I do. I'm not digging the softball games because I don't like the banter. It's too reality show. It's like too produced. I don't want the softball game. Sorry.
Do you like the Derby?
The Derby. Okay. A true confession time. I'm gone for the All-Star break like every year out of the country.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So I hardly ever see it, but, no, I can't watch the whole Home Run Derby. Like, I'll watch a little bit of it, but once you've seen like some, like you kind of get what it is and you just kind of look for the results after. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, cause the whole thing goes for like 2 hours,
forever.
2.5 hours. I don't need to watch all that home run hitting.
Yeah. And I will say it has gotten significantly better since Chris Berman retired.
Yeah. I could see that.
He is the absolute worst.
Well, like I said, I haven't had the option of watching it live in many years. So.
AJ Albright at Action Jackson 84 asks us, what's your favorite Kesha track? And so this is what we've been waiting the entire show to find out.
Okay. Take It Off was hilarious at the concert. I saw more clothes and undergarments being thrown on stage. It was ridiculous.
Now, did you join in?
I'm playing the fifth.
Now, it makes you wonder, did they bring extra garments to throw, that they would be losing them at this given song?
Well, I seem to have noticed some lacking brassieres on the way out. So I think that was legitimate, you know, just took one with them and threw it out.
Yeah, I guess you got to use what you got. Yeah.
You know, Timber is good. We Are Who We Are is good.
But
they're all good.
But in a more this real place sense, about to blow. Good?
No way. You have to consider them in the right sense. Come on now.
Anthony Troy asks us, do you think Castellanos getting snubbed for the All-Star team will fuel him to go beast mode in the second half?
Yes. Yes.
I do not. I don't. I think the second the game is over, and maybe even before that, if he doesn't end up going, he will completely forget 100% of the.
I think I went on this rampage before, but like, the players want 3 or 4 days off in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a first time guy, yeah, maybe you're honored to go to the All-Star game, but after a couple times, or if you think you're good enough, like the season's a grind. You want the break.
Yeah. Two more. Dropkick Hoonigan asked us, with the remaining seasons on Cabrera's contract, what number do you think will be higher, games played or days on the DL?
Games played.
I would hope
negative
so.
Pants.
I mean, he's been hurt a lot, but he hasn't necessarily spent a lot of time on the DL over the course of his career. He's played terribly through his injuries. That's kind of his shtick.
Right. I think it's a tongue-in-cheek question,
yeah,
but we're going to pretend it's serious and scold you.
Yeah. And the last one is, I'm assuming Texas, Sparty, is just TX. Is it fair to make that jump?
Tex. Sure.
Does skipping watching the Tigers to watch the World Cup make me a bad fan? No.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier.
It makes you a good citizen of the world to know what's going on in sports outside of America. Will you allow me to soapbox a little bit here?
Please do.
Okay. So one thing that has really pissed me off over the course of the World Cup is all of the Americans jumping in and saying, oh, they got to fix diving. Like, there's something wrong with this sport. They got to fix diving. If you only watch once every 4 years, don't feel the need to fix the world's most popular sport. Maybe just skip watching it that once every 4 years. Like, I don't watch football, American football, and be like, oh man, the wide receivers that throw a hissy fit every time they don't get a pass interference call. Like, we got to fix that. Right. Like, there's something wrong with right. that. I can't watch the sport. Like, just shut up. Nobody cares what you think. Like, you're not that important. Just chill.
I'm 90% agreeing with you. The 10% of me is saying also, like, real soccer fans, like in Latin and South America, are destroying Neymar for his diving shenanigans.
Like, don't get
like,
me wrong.
It's a little much.
Yes, there would it, the game would be better with less diving. But any measure you take to stop it is just going to screw with the integrity of the game. Like, I feel like it's very similar to the pace of play stuff with baseball. Like, you're just going to alienate the established fan base trying to chase after a few hit or miss casual fans. Like, it never is going to work out.
I will tell you, though, I've really grown on soccer. I do love soccer. I watch it. But there are parts that are maddening to me and I would like to fix. The clock, for instance, drives me insane.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Well, we're just going to add like some unknown amount of time.
Arbitrary.
Yeah. You know, if you want to do that, just have the clock the normal way and give the ref a clicker. When time is out for an injury, you click it. And then when time is back in, you click the ticker again. And that's it. And the card thing, like, the punishments are so severe. Like, you don't have gradients of, like, you get a yellow card, which is basically a warning or nothing. Or you get a red card, like, you're ejected. There's nothing really in the middle. Same thing with penalty kick. I mean, the degree, I know the system has worked for decades, but that part kind of bothers me.
Yeah,
too.
Whitney and I were discussing this. Like, I feel like a big problem that Americans have with soccer is that it's so free form. Like, you know, the ball can kind of roll out, but if the same guy's playing it, they'll just let it play on. And if there's a foul, you know, you can play the advantage and come back. Like,
I do kind of like that, though.
It's just it's just a different setup than American sports. Like, you know, there is a million different penalties that you could call in any given NFL play. And half of them come back and you redo what just happened. Like, soccer, the idea is flow. You don't want stoppages. Yeah. And I think that's something that's really hard for American sports fans to kind of get around.
Here's another thing to blow your mind. Soccer should have a blue line like hockey.
Why? What would an extra line on the field do?
Well, are you not familiar with hockey? Offside.
So you want a set offside
line
as opposed to how it's done.
If the ball's the first thing in the zone, it's fine.
To be fair, pretty much nobody has a problem understanding. Like, everyone's kind of on the understanding of the offside rule, except for people in this country.
That's true.
And I think that goes back to set rules. Like, there isn't a designated spot, and I think that leniency and whatnot is something that we struggle with, which, I mean,
there's going to be a lot of listeners who are going to be so happy when this World Cup's over as we talk about soccer.
Yeah, then we're going to talk about the Premier League, so just get used to it. It's our show. Suck it.
It's true.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And leave us a review, a rating. We're up to a lot of ratings. We don't have quite as many reviews. So if you're considering doing one or the other, maybe do both. But you definitely leave us a review. Say something funny. More people will find us, and we'll get richer. That's the goal. Anything else? That was tongue-in-cheek, by the way. I don't know that anyone has ever gone into podcasting to get rich. Anyway.
Correct.
Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
I'm off for a couple weeks, friends. So I'm sure you'll find somebody to replace me, but,
like,
best wishes. I'll be back in a while. So what's that?
I said, like, anyone could fill those shoes.
Anybody with a pulse and a voice would be fine.
With that being said, we will catch you guys. I will catch you guys next week. And eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.